on this beautiful day as we praise God in His beautiful home, His sanctuary. Morning, right? Starts with that. So all that starts all the other blessings that could follow. You just pray. Pray for me. Somebody pray. I'm so glad they prayed for me.
When we bend and bow good everybody's singing today.
Everybody's singing good today. They're doing well. They're helping us all.
Yes.
We got to do their song next week so they can do our song.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
You got to give us a mic.
Yeah. Work that out. That would be good. I think we should.
We don't need a mic.
I think we should. That would be good. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Be seated and enjoy yourself in your church. I have a meal served just for you. Starting last Sunday night, I started on a meal just for you, just for my flock. So you all pray with me for those who aren't here today, please, that pray that somehow they hear the word of God or something happens and they know something because they've missed something today. The shepherd went home and prepared a meal, and it's so important that you're all here to hear the meal because God brought you here today. I believe that with all my heart. God brought you here today, and that's the beginning of your blessings because you're obedient to God. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to bless his children. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He wants to bless his children if you will hear his word. Marilyn, great job on the bulletin today. We're going to be using your bulletin in this message today, so make sure you keep it on your lap right there where you can all see it and put your glasses on if you need, like your pastor. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is a pleasant and praise is beautiful. Yes, he does. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Lord,
no, you go back and he counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. Stay with me. Right? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up how many of their wounds? Does anybody here believe that beside me? Anybody here ever been brokenhearted? He's going to heal your wounds. Amen. He counts the number of the stars and he calls them. Imagine that. That's amazing, right? Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Infinite. If I could show you this morning, if I could read my message this morning and make you realize that God is performing one of the greatest miracles in your life this morning, would you, if you believe that, if you receive that and you believe that, I pray it changes your whole life forever. If I can bring you to one understanding of what God is doing, the miracle in your life, and I'll get to the message, and you'll see what God is doing in your life, and you will say, that's the biggest miracle of all. How many want miracles to happen in your life? You say, well, what's the biggest miracle that can happen in my life? I'm going to get to that with you. Amen. Brother Jim, welcome back. Your travels were good in Pennsylvania. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Where's Brother Fred, Elder Nancy? Because I want to share that my granddaughter listens to the sermons in Tennessee. I want Brother Fred to know that his work is being heard 1,000 miles away. She's listening to the message, and she can't wait to hear the new message. And unbeknownst to me, Brother Fred puts the quiz on there, and Madison absolutely loves the quiz, and she had the text. You see the work that we do to things you don't see? Because she shares what she hears. You see the work that we're, this little tiny church with just a few of us, are doing great mighty things. I want you to believe that. And Brother Fred is doing great mighty things when he puts that on the line and he takes the time. And I want, you guys, that?
That made his day when he heard that.
Madison is going to a new church this morning. First time. Y'all pray for her this morning. She's about an hour away from being there. She's all excited. She loves you and she loves this church and you have moved her. You have brought her closer to God because of you all and her Nana. She reads the Bible every day. She takes it to work with her. and she reads her Bible in devotional every day. She doesn't want to be without it. Isn't that amazing? That's because of what God does, and that's because of what we do. I know we're little today, but you know what? We're doing great and mighty things for Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm going to get started. The quiz. The quiz. Here we go. What prayer does the author of Lamentations end his book with? Don't bear looking. Don't get your tablet out. What prayer does the author of Lamentations end his book with? Is it renew our days as of old? Is it rejoice and be glad? Or is it release us from captivity? The author of Lamentations ends his book with what prayer? How many think it's renew our days as of old? How about rejoice and be glad? How about release us from captivity? Ooh, that's a good one, right? Because I don't know the last time anybody read Lamentations. It's not an easy book to read. He ends his prayer with renew our days as of old. We can pray that every single day. When you wake up, say renew my days as of old. Renew me. Refresh me, right? What is a meat offering? We hear about offerings and all these offerings. But what is a meat offering? Is it an offering of flour with oil and frankincense? Is it an offer of spices? Or is it an offering of meat, particularly lamb? What is the meat offering? How many think it's an offer of flour with oil and frankincense? Anybody get that? How about an offer of spices? You get spices? How about an offering of meat, particularly lamb? Ooh. When you read about it, you want to understand what it is, right? A meat offering is an offer of flour with oil and frankincense. That is rope too. Not that I'm counting on. Bible, if you want to take the time, it's not easy to read it, but it is easy to read. But I say not easy because it's really deep. This book of Joel, anybody ever know that in your Bible, the book of Joel, there's three chapters, and it's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely powerful. It talks about the end times when Jesus comes back and saves Israel. So you know, people think that Israel's lost, and they are, but there will be a remnant, according to Joel, that will be saved and will be there, and Jesus will be there sitting on the throne. And the book of Joel is very powerful. But what description is first used for the day of the Lord in the book of Joel? What description is first used for the day of the Lord in the book of Joel? Is it darkness? Is it salvation? Or is it power? What description is first used for the day of the Lord? On the day of the Lord in the book of Joel, how many think darkness? Is it darkness? How about salvation? Is it salvation? How about power? Is it power? The description that's first used, is first used for the day of the Lord, according to the book of Joel, is darkness. He's going to remove the darkness. But according to Joel, darkness. I know, Walter, all three answers were A's. Did you catch that? You paying attention. Walter paid that. I did that on purpose today. Doesn't mean that the next one might not be. How long was Jesus on earth after his resurrection? Approximately how long was he on earth after the resurrection? 7 weeks? 50 days? Or 40 days. Approximately how long was Jesus on earth after his resurrection? How many think 7 weeks? Is it 7 weeks? How about 50 days? 50 days we gave it? How about 40 days? 40 days. 40 days.
40 days, 40 nights.
What is that, brother?
40 days, 40 nights.
Yeah. 40 days he was on earth approximately. 50 days is the day of Pentecost. It was 50 days, but he wasn't here. And you know, 7 weeks is how many days? 49, right? That's pretty close. Jesus was on earth approximately 40 days. What was last prophetic book written in the Old Testament? What is the last prophetic book written in the Old Testament? Is it Micah? Is it Joel? Or is it Malachi? What is the last prophetic book written in the Old Testament? How many think Micah? Micah's the last one? How about Joel? We got Joel. Anybody Joel? How about Malachi? Malachi, yes. Yes. Right? The book of Malachi is the last prophetic book in the Old Testament. Sequentially and chronologically, also correct. That's something very interesting. If you go back and look at Malachi and why it's where it is in the Bible, because sequentially it's in order. And chronologically in time, it's in order. It's very interesting. That's something I didn't know until I did my study, until I studied the quiz. Sometimes I'll get a quiz and I'll actually study the question because I want to understand it even more. But Malachi is actually sequentially and chronologically in order, which is kind of interesting to know why it's where it's at. So that's the quiz. Give yourself a nice quiz, everybody. Woo! Marilyn, great job with the bulletin. This is perfect. Yeah, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mark.
Thank you so much. Thanksgiving is almost coming. I love Thanksgiving. Anybody love Thanksgiving? I can't wait for Thanksgiving. I get it. I can't wait. I mean, all the food, not that I don't like food. And right after that is Christmas. How many wait for Christmas? Christmas is exciting. It is exciting. And then people have a birthday, and I'm so excited. When your birthday, you get excited. The birthday, I'm excited. And some people have an anniversary. Walter and Jean had an anniversary just recently. They didn't share with us. Happy anniversary in August. But you get excited. Your anniversary day is exciting. How many get excited? But wait, there's more. Today is the day the Lord has made. Today. You get excited for Christmas and Thanksgiving. I'm telling you, today is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
I'm excited. There will never be another day like today. Understand that. There will never be a gathering like tomorrow and everything, the day after. But it's not today. It's not like today, because today is the day. Today. We don't look at it that way, but I want to get you. Today is, tomorrow's, it's going to be the sun. Yeah, but this is its only day. The only day. He made this day just for me. Just for me. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, but he made it for you too, okay? I'll share it with you. Thank you, Jesus. Tomorrow is not promised. I tell you over and over again. Tomorrow is not what?
Promised,
yes. I have today. It's my day. You know what I can do today? I can take a walk. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I can take a drive today.
Amen.
I can share a meal with somebody today. I can share a smile with somebody today. Wait a minute. I can eat some ice cream today.
Amen.
Great. I can sing a song today. I can make somebody else smile today. You know what I can do today? I can call a friend. Call an old friend today. I can do those all today because today is the day who made for me? God. Or, are you ready? I could be grumpy today. I could be moody today. I could be upset today. I could be angry today. I could be stubborn today. I could be lazy today. I can find fault with, fill in the blank. I can find fault with the world. I can get mad at things I cannot fix today. I can't fix it today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But I can be angry about things I cannot fix. Fill in the blank what you can't fix. But today, today, I can fix me. Hallelujah. Today, I can fix me. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Oh,
I have sinned. But I can work on me when?
Today.
Today. Now, it's my fault. I can work on my faults, my attitude. Not yours, mine, because this is my day. And if I do it in the morning, I'll have the rest of the day to enjoy for me that God made it for me. Right?
Yep.
What would Jesus do? What would Jesus tell me to do? How do I get in my right mind, the Lord? Am I out of the light? Yeah, that's it. That's the first thing I wonder. I can do. Am I out of the light? Am I just not in the spotlight? In that light that he's got? I can do that, right? That's the first thing I can do. So what do I do? Forgive me, Lord! Yeah, that's great, right? See, forgive me, Lord. Oh yeah, as though as I forgive others, right? There's that word again. I say, forgive me, Lord, and then I remember he said, yeah, as you forgive others, I'll forgive you. Oh, there's that word, but I can do that today. I want to love. Anybody say, I want to love. I hear it on TV. Let's choose love.
Amen.
But what is love? What is love? It's forgiving. How many things has he forgiven you for in the last 10 days? Never mind the last 10 years. So if he can forgive us, we should forgive us. And if I choose love, what is love, church? It's forgiving. Let me read this because I think this is so true. Without forgiveness, there is no love. Only words without works. You can say you love all you want, but if you don't forgive, what are you doing? You're loving yourself. You're talking to yourself. You're telling yourself how good you are. But if there's no forgiveness, then there's no love. Because to me, love without forgiveness is words without work. And I believe God gave that to me today. So I say, okay, God, help me. I need help, Lord. Where is Shakespeare when I need him? I love Shakespeare. Oh, what a wretched man am I. If only I knew where to turn. Wait. What soft? What light on yonder window breaks? It is the east. It is the east. What light on yonder window breaks? It is the east and Jesus is the sun. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is the sun. My God, my Savior, my hope. I can't change the world. I try every day. But I can change me when? Today. Because today is what? The day who gave to me? God. I can be renewed today in him. His thoughts for me are higher than my own. Let me tell you this. I'm admitting it. His thoughts for me are higher than my own. What was I thinking? If you're not thinking like God, then what are you thinking? Because his thoughts are higher than you. I know what. Oh, wa tabu sayang. Oh, wa tabu sayang. You ever hear that? Say it together with me. Oh, wa tabu sayang. Oh, what the goose I am. What was I thinking? He's thinking better than me, yet I'm going off on my own. His ways are better for me on this day he made for me. So if I change, then things around me, this is great, you ought to write this down. If I change, things around me have to change. You've been trying to change this and change that, but if you just change you, things around you will change. They have to. They can't be the same. You think about that. They really taste and see if it's good. Try it. Taste and see if God is true. His word, his love for me, become under his wings. Because if you change, if I change, if you change, everything around you has to. It has to. Think about that. Think how deep that is when I'm telling you how true that is. Not my way, but your way, Lord. Then you say, I can never go back. After you taste it so good, it feels so good, you can't go back. You can't turn back. You can't look back. Because today is the day. It's my day. Each day will be a new day. Each day that you do this will be a new day. Tomorrow when you wake up with your breath, you're blessed with that. You say, today is it. But today, right now, could be the greatest day in your life, a new day that removes all this other junk that you can't fix because you said, I can't fix it. But I can change me. I can fix me today. Oh, Lord, it's the power of God. How many want to see the power of God? My God, I wish people could hear this. The power of God, I told you, the impossible. How many want to see the impossible? Let me tell you what's impossible. But it's all possible with God, right? You are changing the hardest one to change. Write that down on your refrigerator. You're changing the hardest one to change. And who is that, Lily? The one in the mirror. You know the person in the, when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Hello. You don't see Zippy, you see you, right? I hope you don't see Zippy. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? You. And when you change you, that's the greatest miracle that you can change you is the greatest miracle of all time because you're the hardest one to change. You. My way or the highway. I've done this all my life. But yeah, that's right. You hit your thumb with a hammer every day. Does it feel good? No, why do you do it? Because I do it every day. I shove my toe getting out of bed every day. Why do you do it? Because I do it every day. I yell at the TV set. Why do you do it? Because I do it every day. Why? Because that's who I am. Done. God is saying, I got a better way, and this is the day you can learn that. The miracle of all miracles, if you change the man in the mirror, the hardest person for you to change. Thank you, Lord. Today is the day I shall begin to do this. I shall begin to praise him. Oh, Lord, there he is again. Today is the day I shall begin to praise him. My Lord, the one who saved me, the one who died for me. In your bulletin is the scripture readings today. We're going to read them together. I'm going to go one at a time. And you can see it right there as I read it. You can look at it. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. How can I, a man, bless God? You ever think about that? It says there, bless the Lord, O my soul. But how do I bless God? He's God and I'm a man. You see, that's what you have to understand. You can honor God. Amen? You can honor him. You can praise him to anyone who will listen. That will bless my Lord. When you tell people about God, when you praise him, you don't even have to tell them. Just say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, thank you. And people hear that. You're praising God out loud. You see that? You're changing the atmosphere. And you're blessing God because other people are hearing what? You talk about Jesus. Maybe they never heard the word Jesus. Maybe they haven't heard about it. Maybe they haven't even thought about God. But you have opened up the praise and opened up their ears. You have blessed God. You brought a new person into God's life. Amen. You brought somebody else to God. Maybe they don't catch on right away, but for that second, you brought somebody else to God. So you started something new. You can honor him and praise him to anyone who will listen. They will bless my Lord. That will bless my Lord. Honor my Lord. I will thank him openly. Anybody ever do that? I will from my soul, not my soul, not my head and not my core, but my heart, my soul. That's when I ask you to praise him and you all clap. That's wonderful. But I want you to praise him from here, from your soul. Where does it say, bless the Lord, oh my soul? Not my head, not my yoga, not this artificial, okay, I feel good, the pastor asked me to praise him. I want you to praise him because you want, I want you to praise him so much that I have to stop you from praising him. You understand? What this kind of church would be if people walked in, they'd go nuts. Say, what's wrong with these people? But I want it. Whatever they got, I want it. If they walk in here as quiet, they're going to say, there's nothing in here for me, but there's everything in here for you. Everything in this church for you. Thank him openly from my soul, not my head. From my core, my heart. And then it says, next, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many times have I told you how many times we've forgotten? those blue stones out there. I said, the first one's the prayer. The second one you bring out there for the answered prayer so you don't forget. So you fill up that box with blue stones. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. With my all, my soul, from my heart, my soul, I am not afraid. I am not ashamed until I can't hold back. Until you can't hold back, I want this for you. I really do. And who cares? If you're in the grocery store, who cares who hears you when you're praising God? Who cares if you're at the dentist's office, the doctor's office, you're praising? Wherever you are, you're talking to somebody you love, somebody maybe they don't know God. So you praise God with the person you love. Isn't that great? You should praise God with the person that you're with. And guess who hears you? Anybody, guess who hears you? He hears you.
Amen.
God hears you praising him. And as you praise him, you can't be mad at the same time. You can't be upset. You can't be ugly because you're talking about God in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to praise your name. And then you can't say something ugly right after that, right? You just can't do that. I mean, you just, maybe we can because we're flesh and blood. But I don't think it can happen. Because if you're praising him with all your soul, that's it. You want the best for everybody. You want to pray for the ugliest people in the world. And if you want to pray for them, then you want to pray for those you love even more. You want to pray for your family and your friends even more. Even though they might be ugly and they're crazy and they don't know what you know, you pray for them. And that honors your God. That blesses your God. But that changes you. I don't care who hears me. God hears me. Benefits. The Bible said right there, forget not all his benefits. That's crazy, right? We have another word for benefits. Anybody want to guess what that word is? We call them blessings. Yeah. Right? The Bible right there, that writer of that psalm called them benefits. What about blessings, right? So what are the benefits he gave to me? Good success, anybody? Understanding, anybody? How about acceptance, anybody? Acceptance? How about an heir to the kingdom, right? And anybody? Anybody? How about sight and sound and to be able to smell the air and the flowers? How about those? How about those? Anybody? Anybody got any of those? How about love? Anybody got love in your heart? Where did it get? How about joy? Anybody with joy? Anybody? How about favor with man? You ever go somewhere and get favor with man? Say, I can't believe. Brother John, remember the guy at the dump? He fell all over us because of something we showed him. He fell all over us, couldn't help us enough. At first he was grumpy, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, we got that over there. Make sure you put that stuff on. Yes, sir. That's what he said. He said, yes, sir, we'll take care of it. And he watched us. And he came over 5 minutes later and said, you know what? Give me the styrofoam. I'll take it. Just leave it right here. I'll take it. I'll bring it over there for you. I'll take care of it. You guys are great. I'll take it. And we looked at each other and said, what do? We showed him the presence of God. It was like that. The change in him was absolutely fantastic. Who wouldn't want more of that? But sight and sound and smell. And you can hear. Those are benefits from God. Given to me. Given to me by God. And yet in the flesh I pull away. Oh Lord. And yet in the flesh I pull away. I fail. I forget. And I turn away. But then, even then, there is more. In your bulletin, you will read, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all my diseases. Even though you've forgotten and you pulled away and you fell down, even though you just failed for a minute, even though your flesh, you pulled away from God in whatever darkest way you did, or not dark, or maybe you stumbled, you turned away, even then, his promise is, who forgives all your iniquities. How many? All of them. Who heals all my diseases. How many? All of them. And what are iniquities? It sounds like a cute little word. Iniquity. I got iniquity. It's an ugly word. It means immoral. It means unfair behavior. It means wickedness. and sinfulness. It means evil and failure. But they're all forgiven. Is that not reason enough to praise Him? I'm sorry. Am I missing something? Is that not reason enough to praise Him with all the benefits? And on top of all the benefits, you fail, you fall down, and He said, I forgive you. You say words that you shouldn't say, He said, I forgive you. All of them. Forgiven. Yet we mock that too by forgetting. Let me say that again. We mock God. We mock what He's done. We belittle what He's done by forgetting what He's done. And I want to say that in the worst possible way, what we do. Because we do that to God. Because we're flesh. Amen? Things that we take for granted. Do you know the word excuses? How many of everybody uses an excuse? But you don't understand. But. Yet we do that. But what did I just read to you? And I want you to read this again. Please read this with me. He forgives all that. He forgives you, right? He forgives all your iniquities. Say that with me. He forgives all my iniquities. Say that with me out loud. He forgives all my iniquities. And if He forgives you, there's something you must do. Hear me. Please hear me, church. If He forgives you, there's something you must do. And what is it? Forgive yourself. Stop being a stubborn fool and say, I don't forgive myself. God forgave you. Don't not forgive you. But don't forget and don't take it for granted. And don't forget. It's not an excuse to fall back. Somebody say amen. But if He's forgiven you, then you better forgive yourself too, because you're changing today. Because you're looking in the mirror and you say, I can fix me today. And you're working on that. So don't hang on to anything that God has released. If God has released you of that, don't dare hang on to it. Because He said, no, you're only going to pull yourself down. I released you from that. Hallelujah. If that's not reason enough to praise Him, I don't know what is. He does not desire sacrifice. God does not desire from you, for He doesn't want you to work. He doesn't want you to give up everything. He doesn't want you to turn in. He wants a humble heart. He wants obedience to Him. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to have faith in Him. That's what He wants from you. That's what He wants from His children. So forgives us is a staggering reason for praise and gratitude. Understand that? Your fault came to church today, right? You didn't want to hear me give you my opinion. You didn't come to church to hear some message that doesn't mean anything to you so you can say. You want to hear something that changes your life. Forgiveness is a staggering reason for praise and gratitude. Why do I praise Him? Because He forgave me from all the garbage that I put in this way. And it says that heals all my diseases. I want you to understand this. Not just spiritual healing from sin, but healing in our body, diseases in our body. And now, I claim it. I say it. Hey, hallelujah. I claim it now. I claim the scripture right now. I claim it for me. You got to claim it for you. I can't claim it for you. You have to go in the mirror and claim it for you. Anybody pride, lust, hate, and fear? Let me tell you what those are. Diseases. They're diseases. They're destroying your body. I'm not, you know, I mean to look at it, but diseases. They're destroying your body. You got pride, you got lust, you got hate, you got fear. Those are diseases. And they bring on other bodily diseases. Understand that. When you're angry and mad, you're bringing your body more diseases. You're bringing hurt to your heart, and your liver, and your kidneys, and your muscles, and your neck, and your head. You're doing it to you because of that. And God is saying, please don't do that. I want to heal all your diseases. That means you've got to look to the light. You've got to get back. Just look. Forgive me, Lord. Yes, as I forgive others. Yes, forgive me, Lord. And He will heal all your iniquities and your diseases. So sickness is gone. How many times in our lives have we been healed? How many times in your life have you been healed from a sickness, from a fear, from pride, from anything that you've been healed over it so many times that you don't remember all the times He's healed you. You've been healed. It was gone. You brought it back. But He said, I'll heal you again. Turn back to me. Sickness gone. Stress is an enemy of peace in your body. Not my body, your body. Right? Healed. Anger is the enemy, the opposite of peace. He said, that's healed. Anger, an enemy of opposite of peace, healed. Today is a gift from God. It is. I'm sorry. I wish the people were here to hear this. I prepared this meal. I want you all to take this and write it down in your heart and understand it. The miracle of life, you have it today. You have the miracle of God. The miracle of life. He's healed you enough to bring you here today. Rejoice and be glad. Say, today's the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And when you rejoice, guess what? It heals your body. So when you're rejoicing in this beautiful day and all those wonderful things you can do, it heals your body. As you're doing that, your body becomes healed. Your stress starts to relax. Your tension starts to relax. Your muscles start to relax. Your heart starts beating slower. Your kidneys, your liver, everything starts working like God planned it to be. For this day I shall praise Him. Yet I do have another healing. I have another healing, and it says that my diseases are healed, and I believe that. Today is a miracle of life. You're alive today. Amen. You've got to claim that. You've got to do that. But there's even, I don't want to say greater, but in a lot of ways, another healing. Another magnificent promise. Some people say the best is yet to come. Read in your bulletin again. Read with me. Ready? Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is restored like an eagle's. Redeemed my soul. He has redeemed your soul. It's a guarantee from Jesus. Paid in full. Your debt has been paid in full. There'll be no taxes, no tips on taxes. There'll be no taxes. There'll be no extras. There'll be no add-ons. Your debt has been paid in full. If that's not reason enough to praise Him, guarantee. Last night, my Yankees won last night. They're going to the World Series. Of course I'm excited. But my heart went right away to 2009 when the Yankees won the World Series that year. And I remember as soon as they won, I picked up the phone. I was up in New York deer hunting. And I picked up the phone and I called my brother Peter. And we talked for about a half hour. We were just all excited about Matsui and Damon and the Yankees winning. And then I went right back to that again. And it just... such a beautiful memory, and I thought, gee, I wish we had gone to New York to the parade. They have a parade in New York where the team won, and I just started thinking that I missed my brother. But then I was doing my study, and I'm doing the message, and I'm saying He redeemed my soul. And I know my brother's been saved because he came to this church and he accepted Jesus. I know he did. So He redeemed my brother's soul. So I know that He's excited with me now. I know I can't see Him and I can't hear Him, but I can feel that. And that memory ties me right back to Him. And I said, Petey, we're in the World Series. Because He's redeemed my soul. Redeemed your soul. My prayer someday is Petey and I will be together again. My brother Johnny and I will be together. My mom and my dad and those who have taken the journey. Because we're all going to take that journey. And we'll all be on that one second of thinking, Lord, please. But He's redeemed our soul. And I could connect with Him with that. Because I was doing my message and that line was in my heart. He redeemed my soul. He's redeemed us. Your debt has been paid in full. Praise the Lord. Redeemed your life from destruction. In this life, and also who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Remember I told you what mercies are. Let me read it again. It's a pardon. Innocent though it was within His power to punish us. That's mercy. I thank God that He doesn't punish us for our iniquities. Imagine if one day He said, okay, I'm done. Whatever happens now, you're on your own. Oh, Lord, forgive us. I mean, that dark day, praise God, He said, well, but imagine, He's forgiven your iniquity, His mercy. It's a pardon. Innocent though it was within his power to punish us, you and me, from sin, from disease, and from trouble. And not only that, but you are crowned. I know you don't look around and you all see that, but you have a crown on your head. A crown, and you can imagine how you want it to look, whether it's shiny and gold, but you have been crowned. You're not just a person, you're a saint. You're a child of God that He has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. My goodness, He has given you a, you know, people go to church, they don't hear this. They don't even know what we're talking about. You have been crowned. Nobody's closer to God than you. Nobody is closer to God. I don't care what they call themselves or how many people they say, whatever. Nobody is closer to God this morning than you are. You've been crowned. Hallelujah. I didn't make it up. Satisfies your mouth with good things. What the heck does that mean? Beautiful. Satisfies your mouth with good things. You're content in all things. Miracle. That's a miracle. Remember, the hardest person in your life to change is who? You, the one in the mirror, and you're doing it. That's the greatest miracle of power of God. But He satisfies your mouth with good things. Your words, your attitude, kindness comes out of you. Just kindness, where'd that come from? Because I'm kind. That's beautiful. Not just pleasure, but satisfaction. I'm not talking about pleasure. I'm talking about satisfaction. I'm talking about feeling like, wow, this is great. Beyond pleasure. Pleasure, yeah, but you want to be satisfied. And He said, I'm going to satisfy your mouth. That you speak things that bless others and lift people up. And as you do that, you're lifting yourself up. You're not bragging on you and you're not boasting. You're just being kind. And you're being that person. And that lifts other people up. And when you see the change in them that you do, it lifts you up. You never want to turn back. Hallelujah. Satisfaction from God. Restored like an eagle. Now let me tell you, as all the reading I've done, there's nothing special about an eagle. Besides it being a beautiful and our state bird, it's a bird. It's an eagle. So when it said being restored like an eagle, you all see the power of an eagle and how beautiful they are. What does restored mean? It means new hope, new life for today. You're being restored today. Not next week, not next month. You came to church and you wanted something. I'm giving you something. Will you accept it? You're being restored today. Amen. He's not waiting till tomorrow. You're being restored today. You're doing the miracle of all miracles, changing the person in the mirror. The power of God is on you. The miracles are all over you. You're being restored today. Amen. Accept it or not. New hope, new life for today. Fresh life. Today you can change. Be set free from your chains. I got one more page. Thank you, Marilyn, again. Thank you. This is something, Marilyn, I haven't done before. I wanted to do a little thing on Psalm 103. It's right. You can read the rest of it. It's wonderful. But we read from the Bible and we read His Word, but I want to read one more line that I didn't skip over because I wanted to close it. It says, bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. What does that mean? First of all, it's His name, amen? Whose name? God. And He's holy. His name is holy. What is holy? It's pure, blameless, sacred. It's good, it's true. In other words, it's set apart. His name. We use it in vain sometimes. Forgive us, Lord. We say it like we don't even know it. We don't even mean it, but His name. It's holy. The Bible says there's power in His name. Imagine that. You say that name comes out of your mouth and it's not good. You're extending power. You don't even know what you're saying. There's power in His beautiful name. His name is holy. And it says, bless His holy name. We must be holy to understand God. We must be holy. So, Pastor, are you saying we're holy? Absolutely. I'm saying that you're holy. You, everybody, you're holy. You're set apart. Are you perfect? No, but you're holy, you're set apart. Because of God, you're blameless in Him. You're sacred, you're set apart with Him. You're good, and you're true. Hallelujah. The one who separates us from evil, deliver us from evil. We read that this morning, right? What delivers you from evil? Being holy separates you from evil. Holy is like the word repent to a sinner. You're talking to a sinner and you tell them to repent. What's the first thing they do? They cringe, right? Because they're aware that they're sinning. Amen? They're aware, oh, repent. That means I got to do something. I'm doing something wrong. The word holy reveals too much to a sinner. You see, repent tells them to change, but the word holy shows them that they're not even close. It shows them, it reveals their own sins. It reveals it to the point where they will not accept it because the word holy is opposite from what they're saying and doing. Why? Because they're following the flesh. They're following what they want to do. They're doing what they want to do. They have no desire to believe. And that word holy is like just like a light shining in their eyes. Get away from me with that. I don't want any part of that. That's worse than repent. Because repent, you're talking to somebody, hey, you need to change. But holy is like, oh, Lord, like the vampire. You ever see the vampire in the sun? Because the sun is holy and he's evil? That's true. I mean, I'm saying vampires, but that's true. Evil cannot stand in the sunlight. And you're holy. So the people that are sinning are standing next to you and they don't like it. Because they say, oh, you think... I don't think I'm anything. I think I'm one of God's children. And I can help you. Hallelujah. Set apart. So, like repent to a sinner, holy reveals too much in the sinner. To be holy is to believe. To be set apart. I've said it more. So those who refuse God, His love, His teachings, refuse holy. So He said, bless His holy name. They refuse holy. Because they have to give up something. That's what every amen. You talk about sinners and you talk about what they're doing. What is the one thing they have to do? They have to give up something. If they're sinning, they have to give up the sin. Amen. Does that not make sense? If you're sinning, you have to give up the sin. And they don't want. They're holding on to it. Like whatever they're doing means so much to them. Even though it's destroying their life. Even though it doesn't bring any blessings. Even though it does not bring any blessing, they're going to hold on to it. Because that's what they know. They're afraid to change. They're afraid to do the power that you're doing today, looking in the mirror and doing the greatest power of God, changing the person in the mirror. They're not ready. They're not there. They refuse. Hallelujah. They refuse His love and His teachings. They refuse holy because they're having to give up something. So, church, on this day the Lord has given us, let us as a person, let us as a family and as a church praise His holy name. Give Him praise, church. I forgot. I'm human. Uh-oh. Don't hit me now. Bless His holy name. Y'all want to do that? Because you're holy. Because you're children. Because you're heirs to the kingdom. You are His children. You want to do that. You want to do what we're going to do in remembrance for what Jesus did on the cross for you. He died for you. So that we may have life and have it forever and ever and ever, eternity with Him. Use His name. Use the power of His name and the promises of His name. Thank you, Lord. He just wants you to get it to your soul. That's why He told him to eat the bread. I want this to get into your soul. I want you to remember every second. So eat the bread and remember that. He said He blessed it and broke it. He said, eat, this is my body being torn for you. He just wanted to remember to put it together. And He said, eat and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name, church. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my iniquities. From my heart, from my core, from my body, not my head. From my heart, Lord, forgive me for my wicked iniquities. My words, my deeds, my actions, my fears, my doubts, anything that came against me, Lord, that wasn't from you, that I accept. Bless you. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Took the wine, poured it into a cup, said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. He said, to drink, take it inside of you, and do this in remembrance of me, church, in Jesus' name. Somebody be healed today. Somebody claim their healing today. The miracle of God working in your life. Today is the day the Lord has made. There is healing in this day. There are miracles in this day. Tremendous miracles. Benefits. Benefits. I can't argue with the man in the Bible, but benefits him. That is, you can see, you can hear, you can smell, you can taste. You can do great things today. Miracles. You can change the man in the mirror, the hardest one in the world to change. That is the power of God. That's why you come to church, to hear the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. Give him praise. I can't tell you what this church means to my bride and I just can't. I can't tell you everything that it does for us and what it means in our life completely. And we are just how this church and you know, just it's why we're here, why we're standing here. This church is everything in this place. And it's changed our lives and it's brought tremendous blessings to our life too. And we can all work together and grow together. That's why I said at the end, that if I can get a church that praises God so loud that people outside have to come in to find out, because if you're a quiet church, there's nothing going on in there. Oh, they just showed up and they're talking for a while, they're going to read a scripture from the Bible and they're going to leave. I could never do that. I could never be told what to preach on. I pray all the time on what to, you know, I ask God to lead me. And I can tell when my message isn't what he wants, because it's like fighting to do one page and fighting to do the second page until I realize this is not where he wants me today. I believe that. But the body is you. I can only do what I do, but the body is you. When you pray, when I can instill on you to praise him like crazy and make this church sound like that, I know heaven will move and the angels will move, because the Bible says it will. And I believe that in all our lives. And again, the power of God. You want to see the power of God? If you can change a person in the mirror, that's the greatest power of God. Because that person is the hardest one to change, period. But Brother Deacon Chuck, thank you. I appreciate that, you know, somebody said something that we talked about and it affected them. That's my reward to see that. Thank you. Yeah, anybody else? Yeah. I'm not the answer. Oh, John, our God. Praise God. We have so many things to praise him for now. This is the day the Lord has made. I can see, I can smell, I can hear, I can taste, I can go for a ride, I can have ice cream. But God said to be a cheerful giver to this ministry where you just got fed a meal that will last you a lifetime. You got fed a miracle. That's the greatest miracle, the most power of God to change the person in the mirror. You will see God in action in your life. You can't change the world, but you can change. You can fix you. And every fix that you make, every change that you make, will make a change in everything around you. It has to, because you won't be the same. And God asks just for something, just for a sign, a cheerful giver, to give to the church that feeds you, give to this your church. This is your church. This is your time. 2024 is your time. The people who built this church had their time. They're off with Jesus now. But this is our time to keep this church alive and hope and faith and joy. Tell people about your church. Tell one person about your church. and maybe bring one more spirit to this church that wants to be fed. We take this offering that allows that to happen from his people. And we ask God to multiply it as he did the fish and the bread. And we ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Deacon Sergio. The Lord bless you and keep you, church. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. What a word, huh? The Lord turn his face toward you and bring you peace. I pray for all of you today. Don't let any guilt be on you. God has removed it. Don't let any fear be on you. He has removed it. Don't let anything that he hasn't given you be on you. Remove it. Just walk away from it. Let it go. Forgive yourself. If he has forgiven you, forgive yourself and start anew. Be renewed today. Just be renewed. It's not just be renewed today. You've asked for forgiveness and he said, I forgive those who ask. So he's received that blessing, received that benefit, and be renewed on this beautiful day. Lord, be gracious to us all. May your face shine upon us all. In Jesus' name. Brother Zippy, we're going to ask you to do something very special this morning. We're going to ask you to pray to God. We're going to ask you seriously to pray to God to bless the United States of America. It's not a song that just has no meaning. You sing it every Sunday with us. I just wanted to give it more meaning. You're asking God to bless the nation we all love. So we sing it. We'll sing it all with you. We got great singers today.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam. America, my home sweet home.